Hey, we're all bald.
Hello, one and all. We're back. Welcome to the Wrestling Addict Show right here on the Believe Network, streaming and the podcasts on iHeartRadio, Google, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Believe.com. Search for the wrestling or search for BTP Sports, right? Search for BTP Sports.
Yes.
That's the way to go. And let's go ahead and introduce everyone. I'm Jimmy Anderson, along with the great sports and wrestling Morpheus, Big Rich Walker. And on my screen, to my left, the Hitman, Rafael Guzman. How you doing, guys?
Doing good, yeah, brother. Good to be back.
Oh, it's great to be back with you guys. Lots been going on currently in the world of wrestling, especially with WWE. And once again, Vince McMahon is in hot water. But this time it might actually be serious. You never know. Yeah. Because, of course, we know Vince McMahon seems to think he's invincible. But we... know that that may not actually be the case. And this time it's yet another sex scandal. And what I've heard quoted is that he paid more money to keep this sexual scandal quiet than he did for the entire WCW assets.
Whoa.
Can you believe that? It was at least $3 or $4 million versus like $1 million or $2 million or something like that. And I'm thinking that might be true. Don't quote me on that. That might actually be a joke. I don't know. But I wouldn't doubt it because WCW sold for pennies on the dollar.
So you're saying that Vince paid more for ass than for assets?
Yes. They both look good at the time. And they kind of, okay. sometimes, things look good and then you have buyer's remorse. I'm not talking about, anyway.
But I'm interested to know, of course, we'll never know truly how it came out. But I'm interested to know how this leaked, because apparently it wasn't the woman involved who leaked this. She was just fine with taking her payday and going off into the sunset. It's just.
One of the employees, wasn't it?
She was a paralegal. So she was
paralegal.
She wasn't an entertainer or a part of the talent or anything. She was just a paralegal working.
Right. Exactly. And it was an NDA, and they all signed it and everything. Right. And, the fact is, before when this happened with Vince, and it was Rita Chatterton, the old female referee they used to have, who went by the name Rita Marie, everything got, swept under the rug as usual. Even though it got onto the news and Vince was able to operate business as usual. But now, not only do we live in the Me Too movement, but this company is publicly traded.
Yes.
Richard, is Vince going to go down for this?
I think this is it for the old man.
You think so?
Yeah. First of all, as you mentioned, they are a publicly traded company, which means that the shares belong to the share owners. And as a company, they're going to do whatever in the best interest of the company. Not Vince. Vince is no longer the sole owner and proprietor of WWE, WWF, whatever you want to call it. So therefore, he doesn't have the ability to shield himself like he did before. He was able to take his money and buy you know, basically buy off, you know, any all parties involved, you know, and just basically told everybody to shut up and kept it moving. But now he's in a situation where the stockholders are looking at the brass of the WWE and saying, hey, wait a minute, this is bad for our public image, i.e. this is bad for business, i.e. this is bad for my stock price. Mm-hmm. So they're going to get his ass out of there, number one. Number two, he's at the – I mean, let's be honest. I got respect for Vince for all that he's done for the industry. You know, sure. There's no denying that he's taken – the wrestling industry to a new level. Now, I don't like per se the way he's gone about some things, but you have to respect what he's done. I kind of equate him to being like the Jerry Jones of the wrestling world, where he took something that was this big and made it this big.
Yeah.
And you got to give him respect for that. But I think he's already at the end of his cycle anyway. We know at some point it was probably going to be Triple H and Stephanie taking over, so it's time to go ahead and pull the trigger now, because if they don't, then the stock value falls, and then, you know, bad PR is never a good thing. So I think this is it for the old man.
How about it, Raphael?
I agree with Richard. First of all, there are allegations at this point, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
But for it to become public, I believe there has to be some truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the full story because we're only hearing, you know, what we're hearing on the internet. Obviously, if I don't know if there's going to be any criminal charges. To my knowledge, there hasn't been. It's just
sex out of wedlock. Just, I mean, you know,
he had an affair or whatnot.
So they all admitted it. I mean, it's not like he hid it.
So, Richard, you're right, because it is bad for public image, especially when there's other people involved and shareholders and people. He's not the only one investing money into WWE.
Right.
Other companies are.
Right.
So if it affects public image, then yeah, it affects the other people that are involved as well. So, I believe that he is already on the downward end of his career. Anyways, he really, there's really nothing more left for him to do. I mean, he's entertaining. You've seen him almost fall off the ring the other day, and then
the
botched stunner at WrestleMania.
That's stunner.
I mean, you know, but hey, Vince doesn't have a problem embarrassing himself.
No. Right.
You know, and it was entertaining for us. I got a good laugh out of it. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But this may be the end of it for him, man.
Yeah, and another telltale sign is that he has stepped aside for now, and Stephanie's back in the picture running things. And John Laurinaitis is on administrative leave.
There's
another problem.
He's out.
And I want to say at least four or five law firms are investigating right now.
Mm-hmm.
The company finances, because there's also situations there of murmurs of inside trading.
Now
people selling their stocks.
To me, that's a bigger problem than the scandal itself, because that can get you into some legal trouble.
That's a crime.
Yeah.
Playing around with money and playing around with, you know, insider trading. Hell, they took Martha Stewart down for that.
Yes, but she came back.
She came back, but
she's a lot younger than Vince.
She had a lot more time on the clock left than Vince. I mean, you don't want to get caught up in that kind of stuff. In that, no. So
wow.
You know, I'd be more concerned about that. You know, apparently, you know, whatever is going on with him and Linda, they know about it. It's not, you know, anything that's, you know, going to cost him his marriage, because
they're separated. Believe it or not, they're separated.
They've been
separated for years. Did y'all know that?
Oh, I didn't know.
I didn't until I read it recently, and that they had actually.
But it doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me.
No.
Yeah, and really, I don't care what happens in his private life,
right?
But if he forced her to do this and to keep her mouth shut about it, that's where the problem lies, right?
Well, I think Linda pulled...
What I'm talking about, right? The sex scandal, not necessarily Linda, but
the paralegal.
He paid this woman. Yeah, whoever he had sex with.
I don't think he forced her. I think look, we can't let this get into the public. You know, what you and I had is over. Let's tell you what, let me cut you this check. In exchange for that, you signed here shut up.
Yeah.
And she agreed to it, and she signed to it.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I don't think
she could be in some sort of breach of agreement then.
Right.
If anything, if she leaves.
Yeah. But
right. I don't think it was her that leaked it out. I think it might be, you know, there's been a lot of turnover internally with all the reductions in staff and all this other stuff. So somebody in that organization who knew about this was pissed off and leaked it. Yeah. That's what I think.
That's what I'm thinking.
Somebody that they fired, you know, there's been a lot of terminations recently.
Somebody that's bitter.
Somebody's bitter and they say, okay, I'm going to blow this thing up.
But you could almost construe that if he's paying her off, isn't that almost like prostitution, which would be illegal?
It's legal.
I don't think prostitution is.
Prostitution is illegal. If they did something and then they both agreed to it, and then she signed a non-disclosure like at a later date saying, hey, I know we've been messing around for a while. We're done here. I'm paying you off. I don't think you could articulate prostitution at that point.
It's not prostitution.
You're not paying for a service or nothing like that. Right. You know what I'm saying?
He's paying her for her salary, not for the sex.
Is it a bribe? Like,
they already had the sex. It was already
If anything, it's a bribe.
He paid her for her silence.
I'm trying to figure out where the crime comes into it. I guess that's where I'm trying to.
It's a crime in the court of public opinion because
it is that.
Let's be honest. You know, we live in the era of absolute utter bullshit. I'm just gonna call it what it is. We have so many moral police on the internet and social media right now. It's all self-righteous people. They swear that they never done anything wrong. And, I would never support someone who does such things, such as having an affair in their marriage. Man, your pastor, your teacher, some of them have affairs and you still, but, you know, my point is you have some people who are flaky when it comes to public figures, when it comes to them doing things that are out of the content of,
they're throwing stones at glass houses.
Right, they're throwing stones at him. Because of that, and like I said, it all ties back to those dollars that the marketing companies are saying, hey, if you guys start losing marketing support, we're going to start, you know, backing away from these sponsorship deals and these advertising deals.
Yeah.
You know, the thing to remember is WWE is no longer a wrestling company. They are an entertainment company.
Right.
That's why they got all these different broadcast deals, and they got so many layers to it. They're no longer even a wrestling company. Wrestling is just one product that they produce. They got reality shows. They got all other type of stuff that's tied to the business, and they can't risk that because Vince decided to bang his paralegal.
So, Richard, you're basically saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, investors could potentially be like, you know what, I'm not going to invest and back out of the deal.
Well, correct.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then that would cause, if too many of them back out, that could cause the company to collapse. It could WCW it to where, you know, they don't have enough backing, and then you have a guy like Tony Khan swoop in and buy up their shares. The next thing you know, he has a controlling interest in WWE. So, that's something that you got to watch for. Hostile takeovers.
That's right. I was thinking about that too.
Pissed off of young people and they sell their shares. So
now
they have to be very careful with this.
Isn't this, why would Vince do something like this knowing all of this? He's got to know all that. He's got business acumen. Why would he do something so stupid?
Because of his ego.
Right.
This is Vince McMahon. This is the guy who struts to the ring like this. He basically, in storylines, he basically bragged about the affairs that he had through the storylines.
I know.
Some of the chicks that he was messing with.
So he pretty much told you that everything he did, he pretty much told you to your face.
Right,
pretty much.
Some of the chicks that he was messing with, in real life, he was messing with them. They're on their characters through the storyline.
But back then, you didn't have the social media movements either.
Well, he don't give a damn. He thinks he's above that. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy who sued the government at one. This is the guy that he always brags about shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So
genius.
He's one of those people who thinks he's omnipotent because of who he is. You know?
Well, I heard that whole thing with the government and the thing was because of all the hostile witnesses that they had.
I don't know. He won the case. I mean, so
he did win the case. I mean, or do you think that they lost the case?
He's never suffered a major defeat before.
Yeah.
You got to think about that. That
for 83 weeks, he did go with Eric Bischoff. We got to say that. And Nitro beating their butts.
Yeah, but ultimately, does anybody remember that? Because WCW's dead.
Yeah. But and he won
the war. He won the war.
Right, he lost some battles, but he won the war.
And if you think about it, we could go in on and on about that too, and how Jamie Keltner came in and the Time Warner merger, and that's kind of what killed it.
Right.
I don't think it was Vince that killed it. It was, you know, Time Warner and AOL that kind of killed it. But as you said, we're in a different generation now. And and not only that, also think back to when, you know, what he was bragging about as a fair, like you're talking about the Attitude Era kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or late Attitude Era, aggression, Bruce was aggression era. We're not in that anymore. We're in this more somewhat family-friendly era. And this is happening. So that kind of, almost like the steroid
Partially what he and Linda created when she ran that horrible-ass campaign for
her. Yes. Yeah, but she got to the government eventually, didn't she? With the Trump's administration,
but it was just a token position.
Yeah,
she didn't have any real authority. She just had a title.
Maybe it was the genesis of them becoming a public trade company or something. I don't know. Maybe that had something.
I think that wasn't it around 2000 or so they became, or 99, late 99.
What?
Anybody? The publicly traded company of
WWE. I think it was more like mid-2000s.
Mid-2000s. Really? Yeah, it was a little bit after the crest of the Attitude Era.
Okay, I got you. I couldn't remember
I think it was after like the whole Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit stuff.
Gotcha.
It was like around the Ruthless Aggression era, I think.
Is that what it was? Okay, I couldn't remember exactly when it was. I may be getting confused with when Stephanie McMahon took over with a lot of the operations. I think that was around 99-ish or 2000, wasn't it? And well, either way, the company has not been the same.
I'm glad you mentioned it also, because let's be perfectly honest. I love Stephanie, and you know, saying what she brings to the business. Stephanie is there as the counterweight to the Me Too movement.
Yeah,
because you can't get at us because we got a woman CEO now. Mm-hmm. So that was a chess move, I think. It's someone else behind the scenes. It's probably not Triple H, given his health situation. No. I don't know if y'all know how grave Triple H's health issues were, but he was real close.
Yeah, he was real sick. Yeah.
He was real close. So I don't think he's the one pulling the strings behind the scenes. He may have some creative involvement, but it's someone else behind the screens calling the shots. Mm-hmm. But Stephanie's the figurehead because you got a woman in charge now, huh? Mm-hmm. It's all good now. So she's the extinguisher, you know, to take some of that heat off this fire. So they made that move immediately.
Got to know this. Okay, let me ask you guys both this. Let's suppose that Vince McMahon goes down for this. He can't run WWE anymore. Hostile takeover. He's in jail. Whatever the situation may be. Richard, what's going to happen to WWE? Anything good or anything bad?
Oh, I think they're going to, you know, continue chartering on about the same course. I think, you know, most of them knows Vince's vision, so they'll continue in that direction. They'll continue, you know, to channel and be more of a like I said, a media marketing type company. The product itself, man, ooh-wee, it's up and down. Like, it's just, there's no... I don't understand where they're going with everything right now. Like I said, maybe I'm just the old head that just can't adapt.
I'm the same way.
But a lot of the wrestlers are even saying, like, you know, saying they're more focused on the athleticism instead of the story. AJ Styles said that on Instagram. He's still in the contract with them. He said that on Instagram. He's like this. And it's not just WWE. It's the wrestling business, because AEW is the same way.
Yeah. And what about it, Raphael? Do you think WWE has a chance without Vince?
Yeah, I mean, I think they do. I mean, I'm sure that he'll have some sort of input. You know, maybe – some sort of minor input. If let's just assuming, like, going the route you're saying, that he may not have nothing to do with the company. I doubt it'll ever get to that point where he's not.
What if he's in jail, though? If he's in prison, let's say. If that happens, God forbid.
Well, I mean, if he's in jail, then he's got to be in jail for, like, I don't know, you were saying earlier about money embezzlement or whatever the case may be. Other stuff.
Yeah.
Not for this affair yet. I mean,
well, for whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. If he's in jail, then at that point it's probably going to be, you know, Triple H and Stephanie, and I'm assuming Shane McMahon, and, you know, other people are going
to. I don't think Shane wants, to be honest.
Yeah,
I
mean, I'm not sure.
I don't think Shane's really.
But that's a good point. You know,
he don't really care for it like that. I think, you know,
he cares more for the wrestling part of it, doesn't he?
Right. He's more interested on, like, being a talent than he is, like, actually running the operation. I think, you know, just from what I see and what we hear, you know.
And
hey, as long as they keep Paul Heyman, that you know that Paul Heyman's a creative genius.
Oh, now if they put Paul in charge, ooh,
you know
man.
What I'm saying?
Now they'd have to have somebody else in charge of the money, though, as we've already established.
Yes,
Justin Credible is here.
Yeah,
but if they could let Paul Heyman book it, then right. I think they could do a great job with it.
And he can work on character development, man.
Yeah, he's good at that.
Well,
he comes from the old school.
Yes, yes.
And he's been able to adapt, don't you guys think?
Oh, no, yeah, no question. Like
100%. I mean, look what he did for Roman Reigns' career. I mean, Roman Reigns is on fire, bro. And y'all know how we felt about Roman in the past. Mm-hmm. But, hey, I can't take any credit away from the man. The man is he's a great heel.
He works better now.
He's good on the mic now.
We posted this in the group when they first made the change. It's like this man literally saved Roman Reigns' career.
He did.
Because he was the only one that when they broke the Shield, he was the only one that didn't have his own identity.
Right.
Hey, the bloodline, bro.
Seth Rollins went on, did his thing. Dean Ambrose went on, did his thing. And Roman Reigns is just like.
Mm-hmm.
But putting him with Paul, and then especially the Lesnar, Edward Lesnar, you know that was coming versus Roman Reigns thing. You know that was a good. They did an excellent job.
That could go down in history as one of the best rivalries.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
Yeah, and there's still some more meat on that bone. If they can go back to it again.
They're gonna have another match. I'm thinking maybe. I don't know, maybe SummerSlam or
Survivor Series or something like that. Well, SummerSlam's coming up this month, so it's kind of late for that.
The next one is Money in the Bank, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's coming up very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys are right about Paul Heyman. He saved a lot of careers, and he's a mouthpiece for a lot of great wrestlers, and he has a great wrestling mind, as evidenced by ECW. He had the vision, he just didn't have the money.
Right,
now, Vince
right.
has the money, but sometimes he lacks vision. And doesn't know what's
he says something on I was listening to Bubba Ray Dudley's podcast and he said something that was so profound. He said ECW was the Napster of the wrestling business.
Oh yeah.
They were the first ones to have that format, but the company didn't survive. Because you think about how we listen to music now and how we listen to podcasts, that's Napster.
Yeah.
Napster was the first company to go from cassettes, CDs,
like to MP3s,
to actual electronic format for audio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I mean, they were the ones who really pushed the dial in that direction, but the company didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Now going back, you know what's funny? Going back to Vince, could we say the same thing about WWE Network paving the way for other networks to have their own streaming services? You know that you pay for. I think WWE kind of had a thing there too. Other wrestling companies have started their own thing, but you know how WWE started it at their $9.99 level back in 2014.
Oh boy,
the
$9.95.
Yes, and then I think who else has one? I think there's some other wrestling companies, but that became a big thing where like all of the shows were put on one. You know,
it was a smart business move. It was a smart business move.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't like the way it went to Peacock, but you know they. You know, during the pandemic, I guess they needed the extra money. And so we lost that little uniqueness of the WWE network.
Mm-hmm.
But just real quick on Vince McMahon, you know, Richard, you were talking about everything he's done for the wrestling business. As far as WWE goes, love or hate him, I don't think there's ever been somebody that has worked as hard behind the scenes as Vince tirelessly. So that makes me wonder about the future of WWE. Is there going to be somebody behind the scenes that has that work ethic, good or bad?
Not like Vince. There will never be another Vince.
Right.
There will never be another Vince.
And that's where I wonder if WWE.
Once in a lifetime, once in a generation type individual. Like he's a visionary.
Mm-hmm.
He saw what WWE could become back when it was WWF. As in the old WWF that his father left behind. So, he had the vision to take it from basically a territorial regional promotion to worldwide. And it's an entertainment company. And it's a household brand up there with, freaking Coca-Cola and McDonald's.
It really is. Even with the old WWF logo, didn't it have a good, almost a sports feel or a logo feel to it? You know, there wasn't any other logo that was like that. It had that shininess. It had that branding. I can't describe it. I don't know how to describe it, but you know what I'm saying.
They showed that graphic, and I was blown away.
The laser beam and all that.
They showed the social media impressions for WrestleMania, the last WrestleMania, and the last Super Bowl. There were five times as many WWE impressions as the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, that's big. That is big time.
It's its own brand. It really is, not just wrestling. It is. And that's why I wonder what's going to happen. You know, good or bad, WWE will not be the same without Vince.
Of course not. But, I mean, he built the machine, but the machine will continue to run somehow.
It will.
Yeah.
But how will it run? That remains to be seen. Right. But I don't know if as far as changing topics, I don't know that AEW is going to come close. As at this point right now.
We've seen the best that they have to offer because all that they do is they continue to sign has-beens and guys that used to be great or could have been great in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
They change their name, but they don't build anything on them.
That's the problem.
Or they got guys who are way past their productive prime, but they still got a little bit of a name thinking that's going to move the dial.
Yeah,
that's not it, brother. And like I said, we kind of talked about this in the group also. This CM Punk thing really turned out to be a dud, in my opinion.
It started hot though, didn't it?
It started off nuclear hot.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do with it?
Exactly.
Nothing.
What do you think, Raphael? AEW in general. I mean, we were off to a big start, but the ratings are still great, but it's not. You know what I mean? There's just a spark.
I agree with you guys. I mean, I like AEW, but the thing I don't like is you don't need to do high spots on every match. You don't need to do high risk maneuvers on every match, because what it does is it takes away from it being a special move. You know, because if you're doing flips and doing all these dives out the ring, look how many of their guys are getting injured.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
Danielson was a big one.
Yeah,
and they were really using him.
Exactly. You know, so. That is going to cause a lot of injury to do that. And you don't need that. Even Big Rage talked about that a while back. A lot of the most successful guys that you see in the history of this business, you know, Hogan and those guys, they didn't do all these high spot moves to get over. And they were over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I saying I don't know? I do like, you know, I like athleticism and all that, but you don't have to do that on every single match.
Right. There needs to be a good pacing of it.
Yes, and as far as storyline, there's really no storyline that I've captured that has really caught my attention. You know, the storyline I like personally right now is the Ezekiel Elias storyline, because it's, even though it's goofy or whatever, it's something different, as on WWE. But in AEW, I mean, there's really no storyline right now that sticks out to me.
Well, how do you feel about the House of Black thing? Does that interest you?
I mean,
it's kind of been done, hasn't it? Richard's falling asleep over here.
Falling asleep.
But it's kind of one of those that's been done things. Do you think?
I mean, I was enjoying the Dark Order, and you know, God rest his soul, Brody Lee. I mean, I think that would have, if he'd still been around, dude, that would have blew up. I mean, because he did a great job with that character and bringing that faction to life. I mean. It really would have. It really was going somewhere, and then now, what are they doing with the Dark Order now? Nothing really, you know.
You know, I wonder: are they doing a lot of these things just to spite WWE?
That's possible. I mean, they're trying to compete somehow, some way.
Yeah,
but I mean, like I like when they had the Inner Circle, then they broke them up, and you know, like you're saying that they're doing all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But
I think there's this there's some truth, even though I think in the back of my mind, I think long term it's going to come out that it was a work and they're going to give the guy the money. But I think there was some truth to when MJF called Tony Khan a mark.
Now that was a good pipe bomb.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
But now that was entertaining, wasn't it?
There's some truth to it because he acts like a mark when you run out and sign guys like, oh my God. WWE just cut this guy and then we go sign him. Oh my God, they cut this guy and then we go sign him.
I get sick of him coming out there making big surprise announcements.
Right. Right. Like they had the big old build-up and it turned out to be Christian Cage. Like,
I know. Oh, sorry. No, now I respect Christian Cage, that's not, you know what I mean?
But I mean
it's not an epic level announcement, right?
Christian don't move the dial for you, man. If you signed, I don't know, Randy Orton or, you know, someone like that, okay, that's a dial mover.
Yeah.
You know, John Cena. Y'all know I'm not crazy about him.
I know.
Yo, you got his massive following that would go with him.
It all depends on the good story and how they use it, right?
Right, right. But look, I mean, you look at the guys that they brought over. Mark Henry, Big Show, Christian, Daniel Bryan.
Miro.
And now Cesaro or Claudio.
Whatever his latest name is, you know. It's like they just wait. They're just sitting around waiting.
John Moxley was the first one.
John Moxley. Yeah.
Yeah. They're waiting for day 61 when their non-compete expires, and he just rush and sign them. But you're not thinking, okay, how can I reinvent this guy? How does he fit into what we're trying to do long term? Because there's like no long term plan. Their product, you watch it for the hot spots. When CM Punk first came back and there was the huge pop, I would try to find out when he's gonna be on. I watch his segment, and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing sticky about it. There's nothing to keep you, you know, engaged. So it's just a whole bunch of corny, like you said, a bunch of corny hot spots with no continuity to the or flow to it. There's no storyline behind any of it. A bunch of guys in the ring working with not telling any type of story. Oh. Wait a minute. Here comes CM Punk. Here comes MJF. Okay, yeah. Now back to the coin stuff. Like, that's not good.
Out of all of their talent, I would definitely say MJF is the best one on the mic.
Yes.
I mean, right. Hands down. I mean,
the mic guy, work and the ring work.
Oh, man. Like, yeah, right? I would love to see, this is just maybe kind of a dream match, but like an MJF versus like The Miz, you know, like something like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
because I mean, we saw probably the best we're going to get from there.
Man, the shit talking between those two.
Yeah,
yeah. Man. Because the MJF and Jericho. I mean, Jericho's a genius on a mic too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when you had MJF, but Jericho
just can't work like he used to, man. Like
no, know, but
he still got the machismo. He still got the moxie, but he ain't.
It's too much for him to do all on his own to carry the company.
He can't carry guys anymore. You know what I'm saying? Jericho's
he made
Fandango look decent. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like yes. He can't do that no more, you know.
I just want to throw in about Jericho. I love the way he and MJF can work the crowd as heels.
Oh man,
with the whole like with Jericho and the whole sports entertainment thing that he always throws out there because the AEW fans hate hearing sports entertainment and the universe and all that stuff.
He worked them into a frenzy with that shit.
Yeah, and then MJF. How could you not give the guy the money he's asking for when you're giving all that money to these WWE guys who just
crazy to me? He shouldn't even have come to that.
Right.
And like I said, there were some hot spots in that pipe bomb promo that it was just so much truth behind it because the numbers don't lie.
It really was.
That dude is on. People tune in. Yeah.
I downloaded it for YouTube. Yeah. I had to save it because you know they're going to want to take that down. Yeah. And are we at a point where this whole thing was a shoot? Or, I mean, it couldn't have been completely a shoot, because if it was, then Tony Khan's an idiot for letting him go out there with an open mic and saying whatever he wants. You would think
there was definitely some work involved.
Right.
You know, he might have put a little bit more hot sauce on it than for their liking.
Yeah.
But I think it was planned.
It got a great reaction, though.
Yeah,
it did.
Great reaction.
And in this case, since it was a work, why is he not back? Why aren't they signing him back? Why aren't they trying?
That's actually, if it's a work, then you want to sit him out to build up the anticipation. Like, wait a minute, what's going on? Why, you know, the longer he sits, you don't want to sit too long, but the longer he
sits, what I've seen, yeah.
The more realistic it looks like, not like they actually got beef. You know what I'm saying? So
what concerns me is they took him out of the intro and they banned him from being mentioned on Warner Sports and things like that.
They're going to bring him back when we least expect it.
I hope so.
Didn't they remove his merch and stuff like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what worries me, too. And the only reason it worries me is because if it were Vince, it wouldn't worry me that much because Vince, you know, doesn't. I know he sometimes holds grudges, you know, but he'll bring people back.
Stone Cold stuff when he,
yeah.
when he took his ball and went home. So, I mean, you know.
But then he
can't. Like I said, I think that's part of it because they know they're going to sell that shit like hotcakes when he come back.
what
they
what
can sell that shit. They ain't worried
he's
about
gonna be a, he's gonna be a hot commodity when
he right
comes. Yes. If when he and does.
The other thing to think about is maybe they are thinking, well, shit, what are we gonna do with him when he come back? Because mm-hmm. who's gonna work with?
Hey, what if WWE offers him more money? They probably
well, he got 4 years left.
Yeah,
he got 4 years left. He can't, I mean, he can't sit on the shelf for 4 years.
Now, what I'm worried about is if Tony Khan has a long-term plan for anything, you know.
I mean, I honestly don't
thinking think he ahead. Does. That's what bothers me.
Like I said, there was some truth to what MJF mm-hmm. said. He's a fucking mark.
Yeah.
He stole my car. Oh, this guy.
He didn't yeah. that.
Oh, this guy's available. I know for a fact he tried to sign Ric Flair. I know he did.
Yeah.
They never say it, but I bet you he did.
He probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know this is a little nitpick. Would it kill him to get a fucking haircut? Excuse my French. I'm sorry. You know that crazy. I don't know. It just if you're gonna look like a business owner, you know, look a little more. Yeah,
he don't care. He got so much money. He don't even care.
He don't care.
No, you're right. I know that's just a little nitpick, and I guess that's one of my things about AEW. And you know, Raphael, you were mentioning the high spots. A lot of times, those are turning into botches. Have you seen all those videos on YouTube?
Yes.
Compilation after another of botches, yes. Kickouts. They're botching kickouts.
A lot of these indie wrestlers. I mean, I know that they want to make a name for themselves, but mm-hmm. it's too dangerous to be like. It takes time. Mm-hmm. I guess it takes years to get to that point where you could mm-hmm. do it. Like, you know, the Young Bucks, they could do it like nothing because they've been doing it for so long. You know, they make it look
easy. So let the Young Bucks do it and let the other people stay out of it if they can.
They make it look easy. You know, even the Hardys back in the day, you know, they were doing all these mm-hmm. high-flying stuff. They made it look easy, but not everyone could do it. Richard, I think you sent me a video a while back where the guy landed on his head, like, trying to do a flip or something.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah, trying to do a moonsault landed right on his head.
Boom! Like a javelin, right?
Right. Mm. And, like,
all these everybody would say. He kicked out. Do you remember that? He kicked out after he hit his head.
Yeah. Any guys, y'all making $40, $50, $100 to do it. Don't do that, man. Don't do that shit.
Not in front of 20 people.
Affleck don't cover jackassery, bro. Like, come on, man. Stop it.
I mean,
if you can't tell a story without doing some outlandish shit like that, you don't need to be in the business, man.
That's the problem I have with CZW and other companies like that. They don't tell stories. They just hurt each other.
And that's why you got guys, I'll give you an example, like Jerry Lawler has got to be knocking on 70 and he can still work and he can still get over and he can still deliver because he tells a story in the ring. You don't have to do all that bullshit. What was his finishing move? Power driver.
The power driver.
Sit on his ass and do a power driver. But it still works.
Yeah.
Or he do the flying off the top. Was it the elbow he did? That's it.
Yeah.
But he told you a story inside the ring. And he and whoever he's working with, you know what I'm saying, together collectively, spot by spot, they're telling the story. Okay, you take the heat. All right, I got it back. Okay, we both down. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, you see the stroke. They don't do that. They don't structure matches like that anymore. I'm almost thinking – behind the scenes, maybe the two guys aren't even getting together before the match to walk through it. They're just going out there and just doing hot spots and say, okay, ready to go home. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, let's go home. That's like, it's got to be flow of continuity. Ever listen? I'm telling y'all, listen to Bubba Ray Dudley's podcast. He talks about all this kind of shit. Right. He talked about how before WrestleMania 17, the Hardys, the Dudleys, and
Edge and Christian,
they were inside the Astrodome 3 days before WrestleMania.
Going over it.
They were doing 8 hours a day for 3 days to prep for that match. And that spot that they had where Edge did the spear off the ladder.
Classic.
They sat there and figured out how to time it, how to execute it. Because they say, okay, if he's swinging, how do I time it to where I catch him?
Right.
And then that's where he had the idea of it was actually Rhino was the one who had the idea. He's like, why don't you just hook your foot on the ladder? So he hooked his foot on the ladder. If you notice on that video, Bubba Ray is holding the ladder while Hardy's got his foot hooked. And he said, okay, when you're ready to take the spear, let your feet go and you'll swing forward, catch him with the momentum, bring him down. And it's going to really sell the hell out of that spear. And it looked awesome. And like that's the kind of work that these guys put in behind the scenes. That was one of the greatest matches that WrestleMania ever, man. They put, you can tell that they put work into that match, man.
Not only did they think about the physicality of it, but the logistics,
the story,
the science. The story. But they also thought of the science of it, where this guy's going to be, right, and where, yeah, you know, where I can hit, and the psychology of it, when to do it, when not, you know, what to do, what not to do, when to do it. Listen to the crowd. You've got to feed off of the crowd.
And they knew that was going to be a holy shit moment.
Mm-hmm. And it was.
Yeah.
Yep.
It absolutely was. But we don't have
and a I lot saw of it live.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we both did.
You were there. Yeah, yeah. I know you were there too.
By the way, a cheap plug. Coming soon, I was able to get my hands on a select collection of WrestleMania 17 t-shirts.
Oh,
we're gonna be, yes, we're gonna be releasing them on our t-shirt store. Throwbacks, the letter rus.com. Throwbacksrus.com. I can't tell you by source, but I was able to get my hands on them. We'll post in the group and we'll post on all our social media when they're available. They're gonna go quick, but I was able to get my hands on some. I can't fit them, of course. They don't even show love for the big fella.
Hey, you're doing good, bro. I'm proud of you, brother.
Yeah, yeah. You're in the NFL Alumni Wellness Challenge.
Yeah, yeah. So
tell us a little bit about that.
I'm with the NFL Alumni, and we have a wellness program. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but we have a wellness program. I lost right now 54 pounds on the program and trending. Goal is 100, so we're a little bit more than halfway. We're gonna keep pressing. The goal is 100 pounds by Super Bowl 57. Oh, so you want more information, let it go to press.nflalumni.org. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you feel better, like, health-wise.
Yes. Yes. Big time.
And I know, Raphael, you've done some maintenance on your body. You're a lot more muscular and toned now than, you know, you've worked out, right, over the years?
I try to stay healthy, brother. I'm 40 years young, so I got to take care of myself, man.
Yeah, I've started on my own with, if I could just give a little plug here, to the Houston Apollos wheelchair lacrosse team. The coach, Dr. Louis Nicolosi, he and I got to talking, and I've started my own little project, Project 201. I've already lost 13 pounds so far on the project. Thank you. The goal, no matter how long it takes, is to get down to my lowest adult weight, less 1 pound. My lowest adult weight was 202. 201 is my lowest. I've lost 13 so far. I've been losing about a pound a week. I've been walking every single day, over 2 miles a day on our treadmill. And I'm drinking less sodas. I'm eating smaller portions. So, you know, that's really exercise and better dietary habits are the way to go. So anyway, just going to throw that out there. And it's great I feel a lot better too. I think, Raphael, you mentioned that, you know, wellness, not just the weight loss, right? But wellness.
Absolutely, bro. You can't do anything without health. That's just, you got to take care of yourself, brother.
Right.
Yeah. Which a lot of the AEW guys aren't doing with their high spots. I don't know that same way, but But did you see, like, I'm sorry to dump on AEW, but did you see where there were a couple times where the guys would be down and the referee would count 1, 2, and there was supposed to be a kick out and there wasn't one, and the ref would have to say, no, it was only 2.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was crazy.
And Jim Ross is like, well, I don't know what happened there. You know, I guess it was 2. And even he can't really cover.
It was 2.5.
Yeah, exactly. Even he's made mistakes in recent years.
They have to try to sell what's going on in the ring somehow. I mean, you know, seen botches where the commentator would be like, oh, he's trying to counter that move. No, he wasn't. He just couldn't get him up.
Yeah.
I understand that. But, you know, I've even done that when I've called Lucha. But he didn't get enough leverage. Or here he tries it for the third time. Maybe the third time's the charm.
Yeah.
But, no, but did you hear when Jim Ross called it WWE Dynamite? Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Heard that. I was like, what the heck?
I know. And I think he said, did he call him Cesaro, too, at the Blood and Guts event? One of the things? Just by accident?
I mean, Jim to me is the GOAT play-by-play guy. Yeah. But I mean, again, he's a guy that's up there in years, you know.
That's my point, is that I think it's time for him to maybe step aside. I mean, Tony Schiavone's still, you know, he's a little bit younger.
Yeah, he's good.
I think he's doing a good job.
Jim's got to be what? Jim's got to be what, in his 70s?
At least 70.
At least 70.
Yeah.
At least. I mean, he was in Mid-South. I want to say he was probably in his 30s back then.
Yes.
Or early 30s. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he just, didn't he just turn 70?
Possibly. I don't know. Whatever happened to Professor Mike Tenay? I like him. I thought he was good.
Man. Yeah, I don't know what happened to him.
He's not with Impact right now, right? I think D'Lo Brown and what's the other guy's name? Matt Stryker. I think they were doing commentating over there, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's time for a new guard, and like we also kind of talked about this. Yeah, I wish y'all could be a fly on the wall and see our conversation in the inbox and stuff like that, but. That's another thing that's changed about the business. Like, you don't have commentators that are part of the package anymore. No. You remember back in the day, you used to watch Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Vince, Jesse the Body Ventura. You're saying these guys, they weren't in the ring, but you felt just as much connected to them.
Hey, Roddy Piper, bro. Characters. Roddy Piper was awesome.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Yeah. Amazing commentator. Roddy Piper. Yeah. You know,
Macho Man.
Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman was a great commentator.
Yeah.
But they made you feel the action. Now you have guys that are reading like a script. It's almost like you're watching the NBA game. Oh, that was a triple moonsault, whatever the fuck the move is.
The problem in WWE, I think, is the micromanagement when Vince is in their headset, in their ears, telling them like lines to say and things like that, and they have to put this over, they have to put that over. It's not as they organic have
a,
as
a list of banned words.
Yes.
That
adds to it. It's not organic anymore. It used to be organic. Like when Jesse Ventura would say something outlandish, it would go, just go through.
Right.
Yeah, he was awesome, dude. He was a great commentator.
And Vince, you don't have the heel and baby dynamic between the commentators anymore either.
You need that.
Jesse was like always the heel commentator or, you know, something like that. He'd always, you know, talk in favor of the heel and like kind of build that up too, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't have that anymore.
You know, and I think Vince's idea to put a bad guy on the mic, you know.
Right.
And that's what Jesse said. And Jesse said Vince's best advice to him was, if you believe it, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind is what he told him. Now, what were you going to say?
Did Minjin Okerlund do some commentary?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
I think he was good too, man.
He was. Yeah.
Mean Gene was an excellent setup, man, because like he was setting up the other guy. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that? And then the other guy just go, bah, 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 you know, man, him and Macho Man working together, doing those promo spots, it was pure magic, man.
Yes.
Because, like, one of the things that's this underappreciated, Macho Man was just like a whole, the man spoke his own language. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
He had his own genre. Like,
come on, Jimmy. The cream. How is it?
Gene would just lob it up there for him. And then he would just take it and run on and just rant forever. And it was just like he did the same thing with the Ultimate Warrior, too.
Yeah.
So, Gene was excellent at that.
But, you know, as the Macho Man says, the cream rises to the top. That was one of the promo, but it worked, you know.
Yeah,
it did work. And that's what Vince wanted him to do for the rest of his career was just commentate, and that's one of the reasons Savage left the WWF because he felt he still had more to offer.
He did have more to offer
at that time.
Absolutely.
But what was I going to say? Oh yeah, about Gene Okerlund. He did do some commentary. I thought he was a better interviewer though. He was a good commentator, but much better backstage interview. Yeah. And that's another thing.
He was a solid play-by-play guy, too. You know?
Yeah, he was solid. He was, But that was back when it was more sport-like.
Right,
He wouldn't have fit into today's kind of commentary, I don't think. Kind of like Gordon Sully. He was another very sporting, but one of the best. Don't get me wrong. You know, no knock against him, but Gene Okerlund, as far as interviewing goes, we need more like that. We need more good backstage interviewers who don't have to follow a script. Vince, are you hearing me?
Hey,
you know,
this guy right here, wrestling organizations, if you're watching, this guy right here, Okay, that's who you got to do.
I would love to.
Right there.
You know what? Yeah, man. I think Jimmy would do great. Like, I think Jimmy would call a good, like, Hell in a Cell type match or a title match or whatever, dude.
I don't know if y'all saw my Lucha stuff. One time I called it with sort of a head cold, but I still did it.
Yeah.
I did it on the spot. And one time I actually interviewed a wrestler on the spot who unfortunately, he was, God rest his soul, he died in a motorcycle accident, Brindis del Arve, here in Houston. And he was one of the baby faces and his tag team partner that night. They won the match, and I, you know, Chuck went backstage. He was with the cameras and stuff, with his videography. And he said, anybody want to do an interview? He said, yes, I can. You know, I speak English. There were a lot of them who didn't, which is okay. I understand. And, I just fed him some questions and we just did it live one take and that was it. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's the way it should be.
Right.
You do it in one take and you feed them the questions and the lines and They don't do that.
I haven't watched lately, but the closest that we've gotten towards going back that direction before the Jim Cornette foolishness was when NWA, you know, kind of rebirthed itself.
Yes.
They had kind of the old school feel to it. But
they still do.
They did. Yeah, they still
I haven't watched them much since Jim Cornette left, you know, not on his own terms, but, you know.
One of their problems, though, is they're not on YouTube anymore. You have to buy the fight pass for and the reason they're not on YouTube anymore is because the fans would get vulgar and YouTube would get upset because of the language and they wouldn't monetize and the NWA needed the advertising dollars. And I understand that. They're a company that needs to make money too. And YouTube stepped over their lines as far as I'm concerned. So then they had to go to a paying thing. And that's wrong to me. That deprives fans of a
they don't have a star power for that. So I don't know.
Rich is like, no, thank you. I'll see it later.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. I don't like that you have to pay that extra bit. I don't think that's fair to me. I would rather the ads. I don't mind that. I mean, it's like commercial television, right?
Yep.
And to me, it would support a good product. And it's still great wrestling. And I like the fact that they still do it in the studio. I don't know if they're still doing it in the same studio that they did back in the 80s.
It's similar. I don't know if it's the exact same studio.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It does have that old school feel, though.
Yeah. They used to run out of WTBS.
For crying out loud, for a little while, they had the Rock and Roll Express as their tag champion.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. They can still work.
They can still work.
They're not as high flying, but they can know their limits. You know what I mean?
The way that they flowed makes sense. Like, they didn't look bad, you know.
Because they know how to tell a story.
Right. There you go.
That's all. Yep. Yeah, that's it. And even Tito Santana, I think, wrestled several years back a few times.
Yep.
But he didn't have to do a lot of high-flying stuff. He knew what he was doing. He knows how to tell stories.
He knew his limits.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And he became a Spanish teacher for high school. Wow. I don't know if y'all knew that. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did a story on him on CBS Sunday Morning, and one of the students said, you know, it's kind of cool that your teacher has his own action figure. Oh, gosh. Yeah. But
I bet he didn't have a problem keeping that class quiet.
Not really. No, he seemed like a nice teacher. You know, one of the ones that you would actually listen to. Get a
burrito to keep running your mouth.
That's what Jesse Ventura used to say. And see, his shtick would never work now. Jesse Ventura used to call him like the flying burrito and the jalapeno and all that stuff.
Right.
Try that now and see what happens. Cancel
very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, and I know Jim Cornette told that joke. It was pretty stupid, actually, about Trevor Murdoch and that.
The fried chicken thing.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, he should have known better than to.
I think he just didn't give a shit.
That's true, too.
No, Cornette, he just didn't give a shit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that's.
He has no filters.
No.
No. No.
And neither did Jesse when he was doing commentary, but back then it worked. No. And it's like you said, they had, at that time, the WWF was building larger than life wrestlers, so they naturally needed to have larger than life commentators.
Right.
And the reason we even had Bobby Heenan was as a commentator was actually twofold. One, the first time they did it, Jesse Ventura wrestled that night in a tag team match on Saturday night's main event. So he brought Bobby Heenan up there as a replacement. The only guy fitting to replace me on commentary, Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know, or whatever he said, something along those lines. And then the reason he took over on Primetime Wrestling is because Jesse quit to do Predator.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
And that was it. And then he started doing the Saturday night's main events also. And they saw that Bobby was good at what he did and worked well with Gorilla Monsoon, probably the best commentary team in history. Yeah. I think WWF.
Yeah, Jesse was trending towards becoming a huge action movie star. It just never quite panned out the way
it
was. Don't get wrong. Predator is one of the GOAT action movies, and he was super badass in that movie, but it never quite, his career as an action hero never quite panned out. But I remember that now. That's why he stepped away from commentary. So, yeah.
Because Vince wasn't going to let him do the movie
at
first, because he needed him to do, and he's like, you know what, when do I get another chance at this? I'm done. I can always come back to wrestling, but I'm done with Vince for now. And then Vince had to work with his agent to bring him back to make a deal. Because NBC started complaining, where's Jesse Ventura? That's why one of the reasons we bought the show. And you know, and then by the 90s, you know, you also had to have more, I don't want to say profane, but the language became more adult, if you noticed. And Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler were perfect together for that era. Oh, would you guys say?
Absolutely.
And they worked very well together, right?
Absolutely.
You had Jerry Lawler and his perverted puppies and kitties and all that. And Jim Ross say, you know, I don't give a damn about that, you know, and he would just come out and swear all the time. And you know,
then the passion that he had, like, damn it, that son of a bitch. Damn it. Yeah.
I don't believe it.
A little bit of that damn match.
and he did that a couple times in the NWA, but they had to kind of tell him, don't, you know, swear too much.
Yeah.
But by the WWF, he was allowed to just let it out.
Just let it out.
It worked.
And then Michael Cole came along, who has done, who he's grown into his role, but it's more of, it's not the same.
Cole never grew on me.
Right. Yeah, I can see why. But now I can't see anybody else sometimes doing it. It's weird. Like when Jimmy Smith is doing it on Raw, it sounds different, right?
I thought Jonathan Coachman was better than Michael Cole.
I actually like Jonathan Coachman as a commentator. You know, right now we have Byron Saxton, Corey Graves. I mean, I think Byron Saxton, he's doing a good job. I believe so. But, you know, I mean, I think the only heel commentator right now is Corey Graves. So that's as far as right now. And AEW, who do they have? Excalibur.
They have Taz.
But Taz only does like the
That's right.
Dark or Elevation or one of those.
Right. Oh, but I thought you were asking about in general.
Yeah.
In general. Taz and Shivani, he still does commentary, right?
Yeah.
Because I see him doing the interviews too, and I like that element. I like that AEW does that. They have him in the ring doing the interviews, you know, the way Gene Okerlund would do, like on Nitro. And remember, they had him in the ring or down the aisle or whatever. But now WWE's backstage interviewers usually are the females, and they're scripting every bit of it. And those interviews
are not, I mean, they don't stand out. They don't stand out.
Let me tell you guys my biggest pet peeve about them. They'll stand there, they'll get the remarks from the heel or the baby face, they'll walk off, and then they have to make some face in reaction to what they just heard, and then they go back to the arena. It always ends with just a facial reaction, not a, all right, Michael, let's go back to you guys at ringside. Right. No, they have to do it the same way each time. Either I approve of that kind of face,
that's such a terrible.
Hey, Richard, you remember Kevin Kelly? He used to interview The Rock, and The Rock would roast him every time.
Yep.
Dude, that was entertaining, dude.
And those guys, like I said, they don't get the credit for it, but they were good accents because they were the accessory to The Rock's commentary. Like, he would throw barbs at him, throw jabs at him. You know what I'm saying? Like, the interaction between them and The Rock made the shit funnier. You say it made it more, and also Stone Cold, you know?
Yeah.
When Stone Cold would go on his rants, you know what I'm saying, his interaction with Kevin Kelly and guys like that, you know, it made it more sizzle to it.
And Coachman was the butt monkey. Do you remember that? He was kind of the butt monkey of the, as they might say on TV Tropes or something like that. Yeah. All right, guys, we have just about a minute or so left here. And Beleave.com is where everybody can hear us, right?
Yes.
WrestlingLeave.com. Yeah. And they can find us on iHeart, Google, Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. And
any podcast just about any platform on the planet Earth.
You hear it first and right there.
You're going to see a whole and hear a whole lot more about the wrestling as is just a little. This is just a little hors d'oeuvre. The entree is in the oven. This is just a little hors d'oeuvre.
And search for BTP Sports on bleave.com. That's bleav.com. And that's going to wrap it up for this hour of the Wrestling Addicts. For Richard Walker and Rafael Guzman, I am Jimmy Anderson, reminding you that the best kind of addicts or the best kind of addictions are safe addictions. So keep clean, stay out of trouble, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for being with us.